your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
And for this, in our friendly neighbourhood, Troy. Hi, Troy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. I love music. Can you help me out?
Yeah, I can. how would you like some help this week? How about some...
What's it going to cost me?
Anyway,
let's go. I've taken out a short-term loan for Record Store Day.
Good.
Yeah.
You know what? We've been unloading deliveries all week from Record Store Day stuff, and I don't know how many.
Priming the shop up.
Well, none of them are in the shop yet, of course.
Of course not. Of course not.
No, but I think that it's probably the highest fill rate we've had from ordering thus far. Yeah.
So how many different fills are there? You got
hundreds.
Fill
like
fill rate. Oh, okay. I think you just like fills per meter sort of thing.
I like fill.
Fill per thousand. Phillips per thousand.
So that record today.
Mike, what a classic. Anyway, sorry, Troy. We're talking about high quality sophisticated music. Go ahead,
yes, we are. So Record Store Day is next Saturday. So we've still got time before then to talk about other things.
Great stuff.
Now, let me tell you a story
about... Pop that little 7-inch there, did you?
Yeah, I did. Now, this here is... I'll tell you a story about this. This is a story about adversity and perseverance.
Did you hear Troy talking about a 7-inch on the radio?
Yeah. This is a 7-inch single which was released in 1974 by a man named at the time Bobby Wright. His name now is Abu Talib.
Okay.
Anyway, Abu Talib had been in a band in the 60s with his buddies. They were like a small, you know, local Bronx soul group called something like...
Just had the music. They had the music coming out of them.
They did. I can't remember what they were called. Stones from the Sun or something. Anyway, they were just like a local Bronx group. Anyway, the Vietnam War was on. Two of the group ended up having to go to Vietnam. One of them was killed in Vietnam, and in 1974, the other one was still doing a tour of duty there. Now, Abu Talib thought, okay, so what do we do? Half the band is gone, but I've got the song that is kind of about...
this Bobby Wright name starting to come to my... just come through my cloudy memory now.
Now,
did he have anything to do with the Black Panthers or anything? No.
No, but it was the same time. Yeah. And at the time, you would think that the Panthers would be all about free jazz or really heavy funk or whatever. Not so much soul. But here we go.
But...
If you have a soul band and half of your band is taken away by the war, but you've got a song which addresses a situation and you need to do it, what do you do? Well, you make the record with just yourself and the bass player.
No drummer.
Keyboard, nothing. Wow. You find your way through it. And that is what Abu Talib did with Blood of an American. Now, remember last week we did Floating Points, Late Night Tales?
Mm-hmm.
This is actually on it.
Wow.
But
I feel like this is a...
it's one of those things that people who call themselves crate diggers are always on the lookout for. And not just because of its rarity. It's when you hear it, you'll know exactly why people...
That is a fine backstory. That is a fine backstory. Here it is. When did he change his name to Abu Talib?
Not sure. After this, but I mean, he is Abu Talib now. He's still alive now. At the time of making this record, he was a construction worker in the daytime. He was playing gigs at night and driving a cab at night. This world
need not hurt.
Sorry world, even though I love
that song's amazing.
Yeah, really.
There is no one to turn to, and no one to blame, for blood on earth can't have stand up, I believe.
Oh, what? Terrible talk. I mean, we really do need to address the package, don't we?
Yeah, go ahead.
So it comes with a 7-inch. I guess that's been made to look as authentic from back in the day as possible. But I guess it's this booklet that comes with it as well, which is really cool. Just hearing the song for the first time then and just sort of browsing the booklet, I felt kind of special. Kind of special, you know?
Even try. There is no blood
shit, this is good. Wow. Why isn't this not...
Why is it not? He self-released it in 74 and it kind of just disappeared.
When the blood Draggies. Of America poured out over you.
For some reason I think of people from 1975 as the kids who were on the Sigma the Sea Monster. Just beach drifters, you know?
Johnny and Scott.
Troy, I'd like to purchase this, if I may, please.
I think
it would be remiss of me as a fan of music and life in general to walk by. It's heartbreaking. What you're saying about the, you know, if you don't have a drummer, you don't have a guitarist, and just
you just do it anyway.
Just do that damn song.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
So Abu Talib is still alive now, still lives in the Bronx, and he runs a community garden these
yeah!
days.
Yeah!
So the...
He's still making music, or?
No. And this is the only thing he ever released. I mean, he says in the book that he still writes. He still writes music, but...
I can feel my soul humming to this. Wow, it's so beautiful. Well done, Floating Points, you big show off. Before we get too in love with this, we need to move on.
All right.
I'm just getting too lost in it.
Okay, so a few weeks ago you were away. And,
this is what happens, yeah.
Yep. And Geneva did the breakfast show when I came in for From the Crate. And we talked about a brand new record from Mark DeClive Lowe entitled Heritage.
Mark DeClive Lowe from Mark DeClive Lowe.
As in Mark DeClive Lowe.
Good on Mark DeClive Lowe.
So, Heritage was only part one.
What do you mean?
Heritage 2 is now out.
Prolific and talented man, isn't he? Mark DeClive Lowe, there he is on the cover. What a cool cover.
It's the cover's by Tokyo Aoyama, who is a famous artist. In fact...
It's a great cover.
Yeah.
Wow. So how to describe that? It's classic Mark DeClive Lowe. Cheese cutter hat. Sitting at the piano there, just sort of quietly sitting there, hunched over the piano. And there's some sort of puppetry business going on the inside of the grand piano there.
A pageant of some description.
Pageant, you say? Oh, yep. Yes, I see.
Now, you'll see in the background there is the moon. Now, those of you who saw Mark DeClive Lowe's Heritage, the first record, will say, Mike's just describing that, but it's not a pageant in the piano, it's the Nzenji Gardens. Well, it's related artwork. This is related artwork. So,
what I was going to say is it considers the theme of Miri no Rikishi, the history of the future. That's where I was sort of going with that, Troy.
Well,
you know, the way that we tell our own stories in our own way and we create seemingly in our own voice and we think we assert from our own autonomy?
Yep, I do know that.
That's where I was going with that.
Why don't we hit this now? Because this here is Bushido 2. Bushido 1 was on the first Heritage 1. Record.
It would be fair to say that he is embracing a particular strand of his heritage here in the Japanese lean.
That's right. Mark's mother is a Japanese lady.
There it is then.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And so this is this and the previous record have been about exploring that part of his heritage. His dad was from here, from Auckland, I believe.
Ha ha!
Okay, so Bushido, as you know, is what? It's that warrior code, you know, the samurai. I don't know if it's samurai. It's the code of the warrior.
Sure.
Now, Mark. Mark DeClive Lowe here plays. This is.
Who is this?
What?
If you say so, Troy, if it is the code of the warrior.
Well, you
do. You mean Shogun? Shogun being the warrior, Bushido being. The code. That'd be right.
There's a bunch of rules to be.
I've never fought in the war, Troy, so I mean I'm a little bit behind on all that. But yep. Listen to this. What's going on here? This is not just piano music.
No.
Where's that drum I can hear? Sounds like it's in the room with us,
doesn't it? Okay, like the last record, everything you hear on Heritage 2 was recorded live at the Blue Whale in Los Angeles, although you wouldn't know that.
What? Blue Whale?
Yeah. Remember we had the Maiella Manzanza record a couple of years back?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
So it's recorded there with the full live band, including Teodros Avery on sax and the drummer you mentioned, Brendan Combs, who I think plays with... Does he play with Kamazi? I think so.
If you say so. You're the authority on that. There's a lot going on in this music. This is not what I expected. This is, might be 5 or 10 years in the future, this sort of music. Might be what people are dancing to down at the old, you know, the old at a wedding or a 21st in the future, don't you think?
It could be, but that's the point of heritage. It's the past and the future together, right? So if you listen, you hear some drum and bass in there as well, right? Well, not this bit.
Are you suggesting we need to call the drum and bass authorities?
Yeah, get them on the line.
A bit of a nod there towards some traditional jazzery. Tess, you weren't in the room for that track. That was a stone cold, devastating track, that one.
Heard it.
Tess has heard it before.
Yeah, me. Mark the Clive Lowe's Bushido 2 comes on all guns blazing though, doesn't it?
Yeah, now this is like the nighttime companion to Heritage 1.
Cool.
Heritage 1 was a red vinyl LP, this is a blue vinyl LP. This reprises two of the themes, with this being one of them from Heritage 1. And Mark the Clive Lowe, what does he do? And what does he do simultaneously? Piano, Rhodes, synths, live electronics and programming.
It's all about his fingers, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think I was saying to you earlier that the Heritage and Heritage 2 are actually the works of Mark de Clive Lowe that I've appreciated the most.
Nice. Where's he based?
Los Angeles. I think he's lived there for about 15, 20 years, maybe.
I think for the music, not so much the climate. Maybe both.
I think possibly both.
Got a very busy gym scene there as well.
How good is this though?
This is crazy. This is like I mean, I'm trying to think of something better to compare it to than the Mars Volta, but it's Mars Volta, you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Just in that whole sort of shirt, like it's almost overwhelming.
But possibly suitable for children, unlike.
You know, Mars Volta's not suitable for anybody who's. It's cool if you want to go completely batshit crazy. But you want to think that through carefully before you're going to make that decision. Right, what's last on the from your big three there, Troy? That's beautiful, Mark Clive Lowe. Well done.
So Heritage 2...
Someone's texted a give me a break, crap!
Oh, dear me.
Calm down, Jesus.
You know, here's the great thing about music. There's no higher moral ground to what you like, and nor does it matter what other people like or what they don't like.
And it's actually not for you.
I'm sure the person who's texted that loves music and just loves different kinds of music.
I don't know, maybe they're looking for more of a sport-focused thing.
Maybe, I don't know.
Or carpets or something like that. It's maybe their specialist topic.
Anyway, a lot of people like the group Radiohead.
Well, another specialist topic, you know. We were talking about them yesterday, so how unusual. They've been a little bit quiet of late.
They have. Now, you know, some of the people who like Radiohead...
Saying you don't like them, Troy. Is that what you're mouthing to me then?
They're not, hate them. No, they're not my favourite group.
No, not your cup of tea. Sure.
However...
I like that you still bring it in, though.
Well, it's not a Radiohead record, but yes.
You know?
I mean, I appreciate
outside
it.
Outside of your personal opinion, you're still like, you know what?
You know it's going to be good because it's obviously had to work to get in to make the top and final three.
I appreciate what they do.
Yeah.
But one time I accidentally.
But we also appreciate that you're a hard taskmaster, Troy.
What do you mean you accidentally went to a show?
Well, I accidentally went to a Radiohead show.
You
accidentally stalked Tom York, did you?
Hell no.
Accidentally found myself in Tom York's hotel room?
No, I did not.
That's a different story for a different time. Should we just get the next one?
Okay, let's talk about people who like Radiohead. Some of the people who like Radiohead over the last 25 years or so have been jazz musicians. And why is it that they like Radiohead? Well, Radiohead's tunes are kind of structured in a way that can be interpreted like jazz standards.
They put a lot of thought into the creation of
yes, they do.
The way that their songs come out.
Absolutely, they do. Anyway, so Wagram, our French label buddies, Wagram.
Wagram, yeah.
They've put together that amazing sampled funk record that you got the other week.
Mm.
They've put together a collection of Radiohead tunes that have been covered over the years by certain jazz musicians. Here we go. That's the record.
This is one of my favourite Radiohead songs.
Everything
easily.
In its,
easily.
What
Everything
is
in its right place.
Everything in its right place.
This is cool. Wow. A bit of Terence McHenry time in there.
Everything in its right place. Hello, Stewart.
So this is being done by a group called Magnetic Ear.
Magnetic Ear.
And I'm not sure when they did it. Does it say there when about they did
2010.
It? 2010 they put.
And this is just out this year, right?
This record.
It's already
yeah.
2019.
It is 2019.
Should write that down somewhere.
So it's not like one of those tribute albums where someone gets on the phone and goes, "Oh, Mike, can you do a cover of something from this thing I'm putting together?" These are.
I have missed a lot of those calls. They've gone for the unique name of the subtitles, A Jazz Tribute to Radiohead, and they've called it Radiohead and Jazz.
Well, let's...
It's not really... Maybe not put as much thought
well,
into
let's,
that.
Well, let's say that it's quite descriptive, as was sampled funk. It's very descriptive. It tells you what it is. This is good, though.
Casual, eh? It's casual, relaxed, sort of a kind of bum a cigarette vibe there. I like that.
So also on this record, you get versions of High and Dry, Fake Plastic Trees, Pyramid Song,
Twice. You get Richard Cheese doing Creep.
Yeah, that was one, wasn't it?
Troy, thank you very much. We look forward to more amazing music from you this time again next week.
Yep.
Now, all those items are available for purchase at the record store when?
Well, all of them are on the shelves right there now, except for Mark de Clive Lowe. It's on the shelves tomorrow. Worldwide release is tomorrow. You want that Abu Talib, don't you?
Badly. How many of those have you got?
Just a handful.
Let's give a knowing nod to all the other assembled friends in the studio as the saxophone tootles away.
You've come around to sax, haven't
no,
you?
No, I haven't, but I'm going to play a band that sounds like somebody who spilled a massive, like a pallet of sax.
Okay.
Saxophones, like at somewhere really quiet when they weren't supposed to. They probably even shouldn't have been shifting the whole pallet of them, and then suddenly they just spilt them, and turns out they're all saxophones drunk. And I'll play that for you very shortly.
All right.
All right, thank you very much, Troy.
Thanks so much. I'll see you at the shop.
And don't forget, Record Store Days when?
Next Saturday. Not 2 days' time, but Saturday, April 13th.
I look forward to selecting some tunes on the day myself.
From the crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street.